Here in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a guest who knows a thing or two about firearms, but we thought we would do two things. Number one, talk about a story that's happening here locally, because we have a feeling, just an inkling of a feeling, that he's going to be talking to us about local action that people can take. But number two, I wanted to have mark this moment as the triumphant return of my lovely, brilliant, talented, and exceptional wife and co-host, Tammy. Say hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
You know, in reality, the only reason that she came on, she had stopped coming on for gosh, a week or more. And I was able to coax her to come back on by telling her that we had picked up MyPillow as a sponsor. So she's like, oh, yeah, let's do this. And we've been fans of MyPillow for how long?
I've had MyPillow for years.
Yeah.
And I can't say that for very many pillows I've had throughout my life. So, I mean, it says something. But
yes, yeah. Yes. I'm going to stop.
I can't
wait.
There. Yes, thank you for saving me on that one. Everything in the line. So
absolutely, we'll be talking about that too. If you do go to mypillow.com, you can always use promo code NOQ, NOQ, but that'll get you up to 66% off. But we'll talk about that up some other time. Right now, I have the story from justthenews.com. Texas bill allowing no permit handgun carrying in public preliminarily passes state house. I read that.
I'm glad you read it, because I wouldn't have made it through that.
Oh, nice.
Preliminarily.
Well, preliminary. All right. Let's go at least through the first three paragraphs.
So a piece of legislation that would allow the Lone Star State handgun owners to carry their weapons in public without a permit was preliminarily passed in the Texas House on Thursday in an 84-56 vote, though it is anticipated that final passage out of the chamber will occur on Friday. The legislation would also need to clear the state Senate before it would be heading to the governor's desk. Quote, this bill should be called common sense carry, because the bill is about common law abiding citizens being able to carry commonly owned handguns in common public places for the common reason of personal and family protection. Under this bill, people who are prohibited from possessing a handgun will still be prohibited of possessing a handgun. Sensitive places where the unlicensed carry of a handgun is prohibited will still be prohibited. But if you are a law-abiding citizen, age 21 or older, that can legally possess a handgun, you will be able to carry that handgun in a holster in public places where it is not otherwise prohibited. Republican State Representative Matt Schaefer.
We're big fans, of course, of constitutional carry, and the idea
in Arizona they're able to do this.
Well, they're able to do it in more. There's a growing number of states. Just as it really depends, the divide is happening right now. Mm-hmm. So you have the Democrat led states, the left leaning states. They're getting more and more obtuse when it comes to gun laws. Then you have the right leaning states like Texas, Arizona, which I still consider to be mostly a right leaning state until they. Wow, that's a whole other topic.
Well, I think what you're going to see is a division, is you're going to start seeing people, the states that really want to hold on to the Second Amendment, bear down and say, okay, we're going to reinforce what's already there, but also maybe even extend it to, you know, conceal carry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hang on to the Second Amendment as tightly as they can.
Absolutely. The bottom line is, with the Biden administration in power,
yeah,
with the House and the Senate both controlled by Democrats, with the chance of the filibuster being pulled, our last recourse, our only recourse right now, is to focus on state and local. And that's something that I hope that our next guest is going to talk about, because he is the state director in New Hampshire for Gun Owners of America. This is a group that I absolutely adore. You know, there are gun groups out there. Look, if you're part of a good gun group, great. I'm not going to rip on various gun groups, but I will say this: the Gun Owners of America, more so than any other gun organization in this nation, focuses on actual action. They go to court, they file briefs, they sue politicians, they truly defend our rights. Whereas
in other words, you want them in your corner.
You want them in your corner, and they are. If you're a Second Amendment supporter, then Gun Owners of America is the right organization to be a part of. Let's cut straight to him, unless you have anything else to say on the issue.
I think you can.
All right. We'll talk to him. And then we'll be back right after the break. No, we'll be back right after his. We'll be back at some point.
Go. God willing.
God willing.
We are proud to support a patriotic company that you might have heard of called MyPillow.com and its founder, Mike Lindell. You can support them too by shopping online and using promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, at checkout for up to 66% off. Or call 1-800-862-0382. So head on over to MyPillow.com now or after the show. And again, use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, at checkout to receive your discount.
With everything that's happening today in the United States regarding just a plethora of issues, anything from foreign affairs to Black Lives Matter to cultural Marxism, there's all kinds of things happening. But one of the things that simply gets missed, and it flies under the radar, is arguably the most important, especially when it comes to defending our rights. The Second Amendment is under attack. Joe Biden is doing it, and it's not just him. It's also state legislators. It's also the legislators in D.C. themselves who have been pushing. Now, we have seen some good and bad lately, and I'd like to get that all broken down. So that's why our next guest, who is the New Hampshire, I guess the best way to put him is a jack of all trades. He's the state director in New Hampshire for Gun Owners of America, but he does a whole lot of things, and everything that I've heard about him has been fantastic. We've never talked before, so I am going into this with high hopes and really just very excited to have joining us today, Alan M. Rice. Mr. Rice, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
I love that shirt. By having you on the show, do I get one of those shirts?
Good question. So these are sent to me by the home office. I'd have to check with the boss.
I give him my address. Tell him okay, we'll talk about that later. So let's talk guns though, because this is a serious issue. The Second Amendment is under attack. And right now, as I'm sure you're very well aware, and our audience is extremely well aware, Joe Biden has his sights set on it. Why don't you break down some of the executive actions, things that you're seeing coming down the pike for us?
So Joe Biden has been in public office for close to 50 years. Joe Biden has hated guns for close to 50 years. He likes to brag about the 1994 crime bill. The crime bill was a crime bill. It was a crime that they made unlawful the use, ownership, possession of certain semi-automatic firearms and magazines. Fortunately, that law had a 10-year sunset provision. It went away in 2004. He likes to brag about that, but a lot of crime happened in those 10 years because the bill didn't control criminals. It controlled guns and who could have them and what types of guns they could have. What we like to remind people of at GOA is the 1994 midterm elections. A lot of Democrats who voted for that bill were unelected in November of 1994. I hate to quote Jim Carville, but when he's right, once a generation, I'll quote him. And he said, it's a loser issue. It is a loser issue because Americans like their freedom. Americans do not want to be told what to do by the government, what types of firearms and magazines they can own. They don't want to be pushed around. So Joe Biden is going down this road again, but he's now president, so he's doing it differently. He's trying to use the power of the pen to restrict those items that Congress won't restrict. He's talked about home-built firearms. They've made up this term. I call it a junk term, ghost guns, okay? Ghost guns. People have been allowed to build their own firearms in their garages and basements and barns since before America was a republic. It's a very American thing to do, to make your own gun. And in the 21st century, people buy a hunk of aluminum or a hunk of plastic and they drill some holes and cut some slots and remove some material to make that hunk of aluminum or plastic into a firearm. The hunk of aluminum or plastic that they're buying is not a firearm. ATF has said it's not a firearm. Now he wants to reverse close to 30 years of ATF opinions that I'm aware of. These hunks of aluminum were around in the early to mid 1990s. The hunks of plastic came later. They're going to reverse that and say, if you make your own gun, you're a criminal. There's devices that attach to a firearm that's a pistol. It was really designed and developed for disabled veterans to easily shoot large frame pistols, straps to their forearm. They're now saying that device makes a pistol into a short barreled rifle. GOA's approach is very simple. Remove short barreled rifles from the National Firearms Act. Then we don't have an issue. We don't need extra regulation on these. We think it's illegal and unconstitutional for ATF to reverse numerous letter rulings that they've given to manufacturers of pistol braces and braced pistols. They've given rulings to the companies that make the braces and the companies that sell the braces on completed functioning firearms. They're going to reverse that, or so they're threatening. We're dealing with that overreach now with the Trump bump stock ban. For years, ATF said this piece of plastic with a spring is not a machine gun. It doesn't make a firearm into a machine gun. Trump, he said, yes, it does. It doesn't. A semi-automatic fires one cartridge for a single pull of the trigger. A bump stock lets it fire faster. Still one cartridge for one pull of the trigger. Trigger's released and pressed again. We just got, within the last month, a favorable ruling from the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals that said, yeah, you're right. These are not machine guns. And they remanded it back to the lower court for a possible injunction. We will litigate, if we have to, on the pistol braces and the home-built firearms. I can't say what the lawsuit would look like because they haven't issued the rule yet. Right. But I can say GOA is going to be at the forefront of fighting it. We're not going to back down. We're not going to let them get away with it. Congress won't act, and rightfully so, because it's been legal to build your gun in your garage or basement for over 200 years. So why change it now, right? So those are some of the things he's going to do. But one of the most frightening things that Joe Biden has proposed is nominating David Chipman to be director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, so the chief regulator of the gun industry. He's nominated a lobbyist for an anti-gun organization who has spent his first career was being an ATF agent and enforcing illegal, unconstitutional gun laws. His second career is lobbying for the Giffords Group, an anti-gun activist group. He is the co-author of a report that they released in 2018 calling for the very restrictions on home-built firearms and pistol braces and items made from a shotgun receiver that are not shotguns by federal law. He is the co-author of a report that says, hey, we need the government to regulate these. Chipman's on record as saying, we consider a 100-round capacity magazine equivalent to a machine gun because of the quantity of ammunition it holds. The law says a machine gun is a firearm that fires continuously for a single pull of the trigger. Magazine doesn't do that. So that's a really bad thing. Law enforcement is supposed to be impartial. Federal law enforcement is supposed to enforce the laws that Congress enacts and the president signs. We have a guy who's an advocate. I wish the Trump administration had as much of a backbone and nominated one of our people as ATF director, but they didn't. The Biden administration is going to push David Chipman. We're going to oppose that nomination every step of the way through the process. I don't know what the outcome will be. I do know that this is a man with an agenda, and he is disqualified to lead a law enforcement agency because he's proven himself not to be fair and impartial. So those are just probably rambled on a bit too long, but those are some of the really bad things coming out of the Biden White House.
When it comes to the Second Amendment, there's no such thing as rambling on too long. These are important things. I will try to break down some of my thoughts throughout. First and foremost, you are right. We are, as a people, we do want to maintain our freedoms. You know, we would, as I've heard some on the East Coast say, we would rather live free or die. And that's something that...
That's where I live.
That's where you live. And that's something where that is not just a New Hampshire thing. Believe it or not, even out here in communist California, there are still some of us who feel the same way. You'd also noted the concept of ghost guns, which this, you know, let's face it, the term ghost guns, which if I recall, the first time I'd seen it was, I don't know, 6-7 years ago in probably Time Magazine or New York Times or something like that. May have been a lot longer than that, for all I know. But let's face it, it's a scare technique. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, ghost guns, oh my gosh, you know, that must mean it's bad. You know, this is something new. This is something that's, you know, who's doing this? This must be those white supremacists or must be some terrorists that are doing it. If they're ghost guns, you know, it's just a gun that you build, you know, and it's something that's, like, as you said, this has been in practice for longer than there has been a United States of America. Okay. That's what people would do. They would build their own guns, and they never stopped. There's never been a time when Americans didn't build their own guns. You know, haven't always relied on mass gun manufacturers. And just because there was a rise of mass gun manufacturers doesn't mean that things have changed now. You know, and it's sad, but I would love to say, you know, I'm so proud of my brother who, you know, he's mastered the art of making these guns, but I don't even want to say that on the air because somebody might start looking for him because he does do this.
But he's not breaking the law.
He's not breaking the law. You know, he's not selling them. He's not out there, you know, doing anything like that. But the last that I heard, though, okay, I asked him about it a couple weeks ago. He said that they've all been lost in a boating accident. So there's no need to look for them anymore, folks. They're all gone. Nothing there. You'd mentioned the bump stock ban. And when Whitaker brought that down, that was, you know, he was just acting as a proxy for Trump. I've always listed it as one of five things that, you know, I'm a Trump supporter, but that one really ticked me off. And I remember people were saying at the time, well, it's better than, at least he didn't push for this, that, or the other. It's like, no. You know, not with the Second Amendment. There's no increment. It's you give a little bit and you lost a lot every single time. And as you said, the Sixth Circuit does appear to be at least giving us a way to alleviate that. With all that said, we are on with Alan M. Rice from Gun Owners of America. I've always been, I've said this to everybody I've spoken to with Gun Owners of America, I'm not going to start ripping on any other gun groups, but there is something that makes Gun Owners of America unique in that they actually get stuff done. You guys go to court. You guys fight the actual fight versus just saying, hey, pay your dues. And, you know, let's have a, you know, let's run a commercial, you know, and get more people to pay us dues. Again, not ripping on anybody in particular, but you guys have been stellar in my book.
We appreciate you noticing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you get stuff done. That's the main thing. And that brings me to this next question. What are you guys, I mean, with Biden, with, you know, you say the Congress is worried about getting something done or doing something. My fear is that they're actually going to force something, okay? And they're going to use this as the predicate to get people so amped up about guns and about whatever future shootings that they're going to try to use this as the predicate to try to get rid of the filibuster so that they can get the rest of their agenda out there, that they would be actually willing to die on the Second Amendment hill, so to speak, in order to push HR 1 and other things. That's something that people can have demonstrated. The American people have demonstrated in the recent past that, you know, if there's enough mass shootings happening in a short enough period of time, they're willing to give away anything when it comes to that, at least, you know, about 50% of the people. Point I'm trying to make is this. We need fighters who are proactive. We need people who are anticipating what potential moves are coming down. What else is Biden going to do? What are state legislators going to do? What is Capitol Hill going to do? What is GOA doing right now as far as you know, planning for legal war, so to speak?
So we believe that you're always better off stopping something before it's enacted than litigating. Litigating is a slow road. They give you the timetable, the bump stock ban. We filed our lawsuit, I believe it was in December of 2019. Pretty sure. Could have been March of 2019, but it's been a couple of years. It's a very slow road, okay? We're strong advocates of fighting in the legislative arena, but if we lose, we won't hesitate to go to court. One of our big pushes is saving the filibuster. Senator Manchin from West Virginia is on record. He won't vote to do away with the filibuster. We take him at his word. We believe he's being truthful, but we're asking our members in West Virginia to remind him of what he said. Senator Sinema from Arizona has now made similar comments. So we're asking our members in Arizona to remind Senator Sinema what she said. My Senator Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire is up for re-election next year. And in 2017, when she was in the minority party, she was against getting rid of the filibuster. So we're asking New Hampshire gun owners to remind Senator Hassan of what she said. And the last one is Senator Tester from Montana. Same story. He's made comments. None of their comments are as strong as Senator Manchin's, but they've all made comments. We're going to take them as being truthful, but we're going to remind them. And I think if the four of them stick together, we're in good shape. Or even two of them. Manchin by himself, yes, he can prevent the filibuster from getting eliminated, but, you know, it's a herd mentality sometimes in the Senate. So we're putting pressure on them. We have found through over 40 plus years of doing this that grassroots activism works. They need to hear from the grassroots. They need to hear from people in their states and local districts. They need to hear their views. And that's why when we ask you to send in the postcards that we send you, the pre-written cards, make the phone calls or send the emails, whatever the action item is, do it. It works. It really does. Even if you live in a place where you think your representative in Congress or your senator is absolutely horrible and terrible, the reason you need to do it is for the senators and representatives in purple states. So when they hear from people, their colleagues also hear from them, even though their colleagues will probably vote wrong. They realize, yeah, they're hearing from the grassroots, and they can't force that vote because they'll probably pay a price at the ballot box. So when we ask you to take the action, please do it. The grassroots activism works. So to answer your question, we're focusing on saving the filibuster in the Senate, which will prevent the Biden, Pelosi, Schumer gun control from advancing. But our attorneys are looking at the proposals and they're discussing ways to litigate if it comes to that. But it's theoretical now because the proposal is not final. It could change. So they're coming up with ideas and how they're going to fight it. But until it's actually there, we got to be a little bit flexible. So we're fighting it on two fronts, in the legislature and if we have to, in the courts.
That is incredible news because, like I said, I've always been impressed with GOA for strategy, you know, for actually taking action. And you just clued into something that I don't know if my producer had mentioned it before, but we actually have an article coming out tomorrow. The headline is, who is the most powerful man in the world today? And the answer to that question, which we reveal in the article, is that it's Joe Manchin. Because he will make that decision that he makes. And it's not a one-time decision. He will be pressured every day for the next at least year and a half. But that decision that he makes will determine the fate of not just the nation, but the world. And the Second Amendment to me is the first one that will be attacked. It will be, you know, that if he ever slips, and if, let's say, that they are able to get rid of the filibuster, gun control will be the first action that they take.
Well, I take President Biden and Chuck Schumer at their word that they want to ban and confiscate all these guns.
They do.
You know, Schumer's from New York City, and there's no freedoms in New York City, and he wants to export that to the rest of the country, but the rest of the country doesn't want him to export New York City's crime and violence. People in New York really have no way to defend themselves. And if you look at these places where these people come from, they're crime ridden. New York City, Chicago, Nancy Pelosi in California. There's some very nice parts of California. I have some very close friends at California on the GOA board, but they're in Northern California, where Nancy Pelosi is not as nice, and guns are heavily restricted where Nancy Pelosi lives. But I'm told she lives behind a wall. She doesn't want a wall for America, but she lives behind a wall, and she's protected.
And she will arrest people if they breach that wall. We've learned that.
A little bit of a double standard.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But then again,
The average American, they can't afford a wall for their house. They don't have money for professional security, but they can afford a firearm or two to protect their family. And we believe they're entitled to protect their family, both by God and the Constitution. And it's outrageous what these people are trying to do. And especially when you look at the hypocrisy.
100%. 100%. And yeah, let's face it, we are talking about a group that is known for hypocrisy. I'm not going to make this a Republican versus Democrat thing, but at this point, I don't think we can avoid that, because it really does come down to, if you're a Republican, you know, I'm not talking about voters, I'm talking about specifically lawmakers in Washington, D.C. If you're a Republican, you do generally do not favor any forms of gun control. Now, there have been pushes for, you know what, we can look at universal background checks, or you've had some that have been pushing for, you know, the red flag laws and stuff like that. But we won't take away your guns. Then we won't touch confiscation. We won't, you know, go towards registry. But as I said earlier, when referring to the bump stock ban, it's just that little itty bitty bit, that little move that starts breaking open other avenues through which they can and will attack, which is why, you know, I'm kind of a Second Amendment absolutist in that regard. Last question for you, Alan. Do you have time for one more?
Sure.
Okay. Last question for you. So we know what GOA is doing. We know what some of the threats are. What can, and you've already said, you know, the best thing that people can do is to talk to, you mentioned the four senators to help to protect against the filibuster. You mentioned all these other things. What else can they do? Okay, so I am, and the reason that I'm asking this is because if there's one thing that we did have with the election and the pandemic and the lockdowns, what we have as a nation is tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of new gun owners who may want to protect their rights, but they don't know how to do that, you know, because this is the first time they've become gun owners here within the last year. Tell us whether they're new or old gun owners, what can American citizens do to defend their rights, to oppose authoritarianism, and to make sure that the Second Amendment is protected for all time.
So if you're a new gun owner and you're watching this program, go to gunowners.org. You can sign up for our legislative alerts. They're free. Put in your name, your email, your city, state, and zip code. So you'll get alerts that are relevant to your neighborhood, your part of the country. And take the action that we request that you take, which I described a few minutes ago. And then if you get our alerts and you take the action and you like what we're doing, you like the way we make it easy to take action because we provide the link and a pre-written message. It's a couple of clicks. You can go right through it. It's easy. Join GOA. Become a member. That's very important. We have over 2 million members and supporters nationwide. We want to grow it. The bigger and stronger we are, the more effective we can be in the state capitals, in Capitol Hill and Washington. But sign up for our alerts. They're free. Get the information and use it. Knowledge is power. The second thing, if you're a new gun owner, don't buy your gun and put it in the closet. Buy your gun and buy some ammunition and seek out quality professional instruction. I want to make it clear, Gun Owners of America is against mandatory training. But we also believe that if you're going to have a gun, you ought to know how to use it. And once you know how to use it, you ought to carry it every day. For everyone who works at GOA, the Second Amendment is not a theory. We carry, use, and own guns on a regular basis, like every day. We own the types of firearms that politicians hate. Semi-automatics, magazines that hold more than 10 cartridges, AR-15s, in some cases, machine guns. We are not asking you to do anything that we don't do. So if you own a gun, learn how to use it, and then carry it every day and exercise your right. If you bought a gun for self-defense and you live in a state where you can legally carry it, it doesn't do you any good in your bedroom if you're at the supermarket and something really bad happens. Now, I'm not promoting vigilantism and I'm not saying everyone should be a hero, but if you own a gun with the expectation that you might need to defend yourself, however remote that expectation is, you ought to carry the gun. And by carrying the gun, you are exercising your constitutional right to be armed every day.
And you should be. This is an amazing time to be alive, and it is good to know that we as Americans have Gun Owners of America watching our back, so that we can watch our own backs. That's really what it comes down to. Because, well,
Americans as a group, when I go out and talk to people, both in New Hampshire and outside of New Hampshire, Americans as a group, male and female, black and white, it doesn't matter. Americans as a group are self-reliant. They want to be self-reliant. And what these politicians want to do is create a dependence on government and take away Americans' ability to be self-reliant and provide for their own defense and defense of their family and loved ones. And we're not going to allow it. And that's why we encourage people, you know, buy a gun. Once you have a gun, learn how to use it and carry it every day, wherever it's legal.
Yep. That's what we need to do. Alan M. Rice with Gun Owners of America. Sir, it has been an honor and a pleasure and a blessing having you on, sir.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You guys take care and keep fighting the good fight. We need your help so badly.
We are proud to support a patriotic company that you might have heard of called MyPillow.com and its founder, Mike Lindell. You can support them too by shopping online and using promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, at checkout for up to 66% off. Or call 1-800-862-0382. So head on over to MyPillow.com now or after the show. And again, use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, at checkout to receive your discount.
Awesome stuff there. You know, there are, I think I said it before the interview, but it's Gun Owners of America. They do what they do. And what they do is they fight for the people.
Yeah.
They fight at the national level, but they also fight locally. And that's so very important. You know, that gun law that they're trying to pass in Texas, you'd mentioned earlier, good stuff there.
Oh, yeah. I wish. Yeah.
California? Come on. Come on. Yeah. Okay. Good luck there. Maybe if we get, you know.
I don't know. People here aren't used to having the rights, so you never know what could happen.
Wait, you mean I can do something?
Wait, what?
I thought that I wasn't allowed to do anything. This is California. What the hell? Yeah, so good stuff there. Any parting words?
No.
All right, Lord willing, we will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong.
Stay safe.
God bless.